Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophies, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we take an imaginative journey into Pagan Town. What is Pagan Town? It is a pagan village collectively created every year by the Pagan Spirit Gathering community. I invite you to join with me on this guided meditative journey. Whether you plan to come to the Pagan Spirit Gathering this year or not, it is my hope that this journey will be an opportunity for you to experience life within a pagan town, to explore its facets of life, and to experience what it might be like for you to dwell in a town created, maintained, evolved by pagans of many paths and many places. Let us begin our journey with an honoring of the sacred. We call to the powers of the north, the east, the south, the west, that which is above, that which is beneath, that which is in center, that which is within, that which is around. Divine forces of the sacred directions, be with us, be in us, guide us as we journey tonight, individually and together. We call to the pagan spirit of the past, the pagan spirit of the future, the pagan spirit of the eternal now. Pagan spirit, you connect us with the sacred dimensions of nature. Pagan spirit, you connect us with folk wisdom of our ancestors. Pagan spirit, you connect us with the world that is planet Earth and beyond. Pagan spirit, we celebrate you, we honor you, we connect with you. Journey with us as we journey into Pagan Town. Imagine yourself, you are in a vehicle coming down a roadway headed to a land, to a place that's beyond time and beyond space. You are headed to Pagan Town. As you journey forth, you connect with the pagan spirit that is within you. You connect with the divine that is nature, that is timeless, that is eternal. You connect with the quest for spiritual growth, spiritual enlightenment, spiritual understanding, spiritual community, spiritual harmony. Imagine yourself moving in a vehicle that's headed to the threshold of this magical pagan space. What do you hope to have happen in your journey into Pagan Town? What do you bring with you that you can share with others in Pagan Town? What wisdom, what healing, what discovery do you seek in your journey to Pagan Town? Reflect on these things in the next few moments as you continue to imagine, to experience yourself moving down roadways from your home area through the mist of time and space, moving closer and closer to the gateway, to the threshold, to the entrance to Pagan Town. As you arrive, you see that others are before you. You see a gateway, a magical portal. It is glowing with light. And you see a great bell that is next to this gateway. You see gatekeepers with smiling faces. As you come to the portal, the bell is rung and the words are sung. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. And you move through the portal, you move through the gate, and if you look around, you see a village, a town taking shape. You move down the roadway, the vehicle parks in a place, and now you come forth, and you are here to experience the Pagan Town, to experience the experiences that are part of life in this place. And you are here to connect with teachers and musicians, with vendors, with priests and priestesses, with magicians, with wizards, with witches, druids, heathens, and those of many pagan paths. As you stand before the town, having just entered, you see multiple pathways. You see encampments. You see shops along a great circle. Vendors of magical wares. You see people in long, flowing ritual garments. You see people dressed as if they were in a shopping mall. You see people who are smiling, people who are curious. You see young people, old people, new people. You see a community in action. You've arrived at Pagan Town. You've arrived at a place that has been created in the imaginations and in the manifestations of pagans from many different traditions, from many different walks of life, from many different places across the United States of America and several other countries. you have arrived at a place that exists for 8 days every year, summer solstice week, Sunday to Sunday, but also exist on the astral plane and exist in the collective imagination of all of those who have come to visit, to live in, to experience Pagan Town. As you make your way down one of the roadways, you encounter someone who is a long-time Pagan Town resident, is part of this community every year and throughout the year. This one invites you to come along and see places, connect with people, connect with experiences. So you join together with the guide. It is opening Sunday of Pagan Town. It is a time where the encampment is literally taking form as others arrive. They set up their tents, their trailers, their RVs, their vans, their gypsy wagons, their teepees, their yurts. The forms of habitat take a variety of different styles, sizes, and shapes. There are those whose homes are quite simple. There are those whose homes are quite elaborate. There are those who are camping and those who are glamping, glamping being the glamorous forms of communing with nature in tenting style. And as you move down the roads, you see people greeting each other. You see encampments, people forming different communities, different neighborhoods within the larger Pagan Town. You have arrived on the opening day, and you see off in the distance a blessing of Psyche's Grotto. In another place in the town, the blessing of the Crone's Temple of Wisdom. And as you look around, you notice that centers are taking form and being blessed by a variety of people. It not only is a place with neighborhoods where people dwell, there are a variety of different centers. You move past safety, medical, first aid, the guardians of the sacred circle who are there to watch over this wonderful Pagan Town. And down the road, you connect with the info center and you see people checking in and getting spirit bags, program books, information to guide them in their Pagan Town experience. You join the line, you are in the line, you move through the line, and you get your own beauteous amulet bag, known as a spirit bag. And it is multicolored, and inside are sacred herbs of mugwort and mint and yarrow and thyme, all harvested in a sacred way from sacred land, and a sacred stone of tiger's eye to connect you with the sun, to connect you with the sacred time of summer solstice when this Pagan Town comes into being. As you move through the line at the information center, you move now further into Hagentown, and you notice that there is a great ritual circle and a sacred altar, a community altar, and people from the town are coming to the altar and placing things there. And those who are gathering in the ritual circle are making preparations for the evening ritual that will begin shortly. You continue your moving around the pagan town, and you hear off into the distance a herald calling, and you hear that there is going to be a circle of remembrance, and you move to the place where other members of the pagan town community are gathering. This is a sacred circle for remembering those who have been part of Pagan Town in the past, but who have now crossed over to the land of the ancestors. You join together in a circle of remembrance. Individuals come forth and speak the names of those who've crossed over in the past year. You see those smiling as they remember wonderful experiences. You see the shedding of tears for those who mourn no longer being able to be with these loved ones. And all now join hands in a circle and invite those who are now in that other world to join in spirit, and they do. And around the circle of humans, incarnate, pagan town, residents, you see a glow of shades, of lights, of those who have gone before, of ancestors and other sacred beings joining together to honor the love that goes beyond incarnation. The herald off in the distance calls again, and this time it is to join together at the first Pagan Town meeting. And you go, and hundreds of people gather together. And as all join together, there's music, there is mirth, there are announcements, there's sharing. And then there is a roll call. The names of different states in the USA are called out, and those who are from those places rise up, and you see people from all across the USA are present, and people from other countries are present as well. And there is a great celebration, there is a great rejoicing, as those residents of Pagan Town have come together to meet each other face to face in this town that rises up every year in the physical reality and connect. And the sun is starting to set, and the word is out that our opening ceremony is about to begin. And you hasten to a path with others, and someone gives you a candle in a jar. This is your candle lantern, and you join the procession with hundreds of pagans in ritual garb of many colors and many styles, all headed into a long spiraling procession, going into the grand ritual circle. Circle of light spiraling in. The sound of drums, the sound of voices, the sound of rhythms. The quarters are called. The divine is honored. The sacred fire is kindled. Solstice time is acknowledged. The ancestors are respected. And great drumming and dancing begins around the sacred fire. Sparkling lights, the magic, a pagan town, fully come back to life. And you continue on into the evening, and a bard is singing and telling tales, and you enjoy the magic. And in the wee hours of the morning, drumming and dancing continues around the sacred fire. You are there. You go between the worlds. In this vortex that connects not only with all the other sacred bonfire, dancing, and drumming experiences of this pagan town. But with solstice celebrations happening the world over, summer solstice in the northern hemisphere, winter solstice time in the southern, you experience yourself as part of a global tribe that goes through time and space, across national boundaries, across cultures, across faith traditions. You celebrate. And as you move from the circle, you see that a magical tent, home, has appeared for you. And you enter in, and a bed has been set up. And you lay down and dream, going to sleep with the sounds of drums and chanting. And in the morning, you rise up, you greet the sun in the distance at the warrior spirit circle. You hear the sounds of reveille. You know the pagan warriors have arisen, are connecting. And you move about the town and you see pagans doing yoga and greeting the morning. And as mid-morning comes about, you join together with others who are part of the pagan town in the morning town meeting. And there's music, there's laughter, there's information, there's stories, there's surprises. The community connects, the community exchanges support, ideas, and news of the day. Lunchtime has come. And you realize that there's a variety of different possibilities for you. Not only places to get some food, but things to do. And as you move around the town, you recognize that there are 10 different areas where instruction and events, happenings, discussions are happening. And in the afternoon, you select a workshop and you are there learning from one of the many teachers that are part of the pagan town. And at break, you move around the vendors and do a bit of pagan shopping. There are people who are creating crafts. There are people with goods and services from many different forms. And as later afternoon comes by, your opportunities to experience other things continue, and you recognize that the learning time is in the afternoon, and you sit, circle with another teacher, with others. You're part of a discussion. And as you look around that circle, you see people of different skin tones, of different accents, of different garbs, of different ages, joined together by the common pagan spirit, joined together by the vision of finding ways to be in harmony not only with other pagans and humans of other paths, but with the greater circle of the natural world. The evening's coming on. You get a tasty dinner at one of the encampments you've been invited in. And you know the evening activities are soon to begin. There's a great potluck feast now being set. And the appetizers you had now stimulate your appetite. And you go to the Zodiac potluck feast. And you sit with others of your sun sign. And you get to connect with those of many different paths. Hundreds of dishes for all kinds of dietary preferences. You feast, you revel, you celebrate. And now the time has come for an evening concert. You hear singing and exuberant drumming. There's fire spinning. There is community chanting. The concert gets everyone up on their feet and they're exuberantly dancing. It is fun. It is joyful. And you continue on into the night and you are drawn to the grand ritual circle for the tribal dance and drum. And groups of people in the community are calling the quarters in amazing ways, calling the elemental forces, the earth, the air, the fire, the water, the spirit, and figures, mass figures, costume figures, goddess and god appear around the sacred fire in a chase and a dance. God and goddess connect the community of participants, celebrate, express great joy, and the drumming continues exuberantly with hundreds of dancers around the blazing bonfire and off to the side, people spinning fire in multiple ways. A feast for the eyes, a feast for the spirit. And in the distance, even more music you hear. Ah, but it's time to get some more rest. And you return to your tent and relax. And as you wake in the morning, you go about another wonderful pattern, connecting with the community at the morning meeting, having delightful midday activities, It is Tuesday at the gathering. And you find yourself sitting, circle, with pagan scholars, professors at universities and colleges, grad students, undergraduate students, independent researchers, those who love learning, those who are researching, those who are part of the emerging field of pagan studies. Reports are shared, news, ideas, discourse. And they herald off in the distance, announces the first round of afternoon training sessions, workshops, and you're off for an afternoon of further study. And as the workshop time concludes, you find yourself this time not only grabbing a bit of dinner at a camp that's invited you in, but you're headed to a ham fasting, a pagan wedding in the village. There is singing. There is an archway. There is an exchanging of vows for the young couple, and the priestess joins their hands together with a magical cord. And then, after that blessing and presenting the couple with the cord, an honoring of the sacred forces, the couple jumps the broom, and the wedding, the hand fasting, the joining is complete. There is another concert starting to happen within the pagan town, and you are there, you are singing, voices in a pagan choir joining and uplifting the spirit. And in the distance, the rite of passage into young manhood is beginning as the young men who are coming of age into adulthood go off into the woods of this pagan town for their night experience. And in another part of pagan town, people are gathering for the sacred fire circle, a sacred fire circle in the middle of the night going until the dawn, transformation, dancing and chanting, expressing, healing, transforming, a shamanic experience. You join them. You are up all night. And you come to rest as the sun rises. You catch a few hours of sleep, and the day begins. You connect with the meeting. You connect with a concert at midday. And more education, more networking in the afternoon. And this time you find yourself moving around the pagan town, hanging out with people in their encampments. This is Wednesday night, and it's time for the women's ritual and the men's ritual. You go to the ritual that you are to be part of. And then as ritual concludes, the time of connection happens and the men and the women join together and celebrate unity. And a wonderful, magical musician is sharing music. And off in the distance, you see the glow of a magical candlelight labyrinth. solstice is drawing near. Every night, every day is a celebration of the solstice time. But the labyrinth now calls you, and you journey forth into a huge 1,000-candle labyrinth. You stand before the gateway to this labyrinth in silence. You begin your journey, shedding aspects of yourself that have been restricting you, holding you back, letting them go, dispelling concerns, moving to the center, joining the center, being at the center, and a sacred fire there. The solstice sun, the community fire, it's before you, it's within you, it transforms you. Beyond words. And as you journey forth from the labyrinth, the wisdom, the teachings, the guidance that has come forth within you, it swirls in your thoughts now. You move from the labyrinth and you carry that into your life in this pagan town and into your daily life. You journey back to your encampment and rest. And as the sun rises and morning comes on, you connect with others in the morning meeting and go about your lunchtime experiences. This time, you're there for the rite of passage into young womanhood. Men and women of all ages are there to support the young women in their journey into adulthood. They burn a symbol of childhood in the sacred fire. Family and friends, guardians, acknowledge their journey. They acknowledge their journey, their passage. And the community as a whole celebrates this passage. A circle of maidens, the part of life now leaving. A circle of mothers, the time now moving. Those women who cycle. The circle of crones, the circle of men. The whole circle of community celebrating their passage. The afternoon, more learning, more sharing, and now moving into the Thursday evening journey, learning about paganism around the world and a grand gathering at the main stage. Taking part in a heathen assembly. Joining in the community magical gift exchange. Joining in more music. And then some ritual theater. And in the distance, the sound of the sacred hunt, where some of those in the pagan town, the hunt they do, the villagers who support them, the community that is present, the drummers, the energy, the hunt is for finding a dynamic within self to transform and to emerge renewed. And as drumming of the sacred hunt continues, you go to the big bonfire circle area and drumming is happening there too, and music off in another part of the town. You are swept away with the beauty and the joy. You journey now, getting some sleep once again at your encampment. And as in other days you rise up, you connect with others at the morning meeting with music and news and views and surprises. And this morning you celebrate also the solstice sun. In a solstice morning ritual, those from different traditions calling the sun by different sacred names, in different languages, invocations, chants, readings, prayers, an honoring of the sacred sun, and a blessing for peace on planet Earth. More learning in the afternoon, and some shopping, and a trip down to the pond, for in Pagan Town is a wonderful pond. You relax with others, feeling the blessing of this warm, natural water. Well, it is Friday evening in Pagan Town, and the performing arts show is about to begin. You join that, a variety of talent, dancers, poets, singers, musicians, storytellers, bardic magic. And in the distance, the crones are croning other crones. And in the distance, there are people getting ready for the revelry known as Pan's Ball. And there's music, there's concert, there's a ritual at the beach. The whole Pagan Town has come alive. And at this circle of those who celebrate without alcohol has gathered and are exchanging chocolate. And the tweens are having a party in the tween center. The teens in the teen center. Everyone is together and celebrating the evening. And you journey into Pan's Ball. And much dancing and gyration and much music in a starry sky. It is fun. It is night. You catch a bit of sleep, and the day begins. It's the last full day of Pagan Town. It is Saturday, and you journey forth to the morning meeting, to more learning in the afternoon, passing by ministers doing training, leadership training, passing by children who are learning from elders, passing by teens and tweens and those of many ages, all getting another wonderful sampling of wisdom, of knowledge, of community interaction. The time is coming in the evening for the main community rite. You deck yourself out in a beautiful ritual outfit, and you join the hundreds that are gathering in the large ritual circle. The smell of roses is in the air. You are there. There's music. There's magic. There's words. There's community connections. There's drumming. There's silence. The magic is woven. 1,000 pagans join together in celebration of solstice, in celebration of paganism, in celebration of the interconnectedness, not only with each other, but the greater circle of nature. And the celebration goes into the night. You get some sleep, you rise up, and you start seeing mist around you as the morning comes on. And you recognize that Pagan Town is starting to shift again from the physical plane reality into the imaginal realm. There's a closing ceremony. Farewells, blessings for safe journey, a taking down of the wards by the guardians, a giving thanks to each other. And as Pagan Town starts shifting into the other world for 51 weeks of the year, you carry with you an understanding and experience of the Pagan Spirit Gathering community, what it's like to live in a totally pagan created town, a pagan run town, a pagan town where everyone shares and helps with the running of the town, its creation, its manifestation, and its return to the imaginal realm. You're part of the group of people who are helping to take down the Pagan Town. Tents away, supplies and trucks and vans and cars, and as the town shifts from being in a physical reality, you help with that process, but you carry with you your memories of this journey, of this place, as you find your way now to your vehicle and join the others as you move through the magical threshold and journey back through time and space to your own home area, carrying with you the magic of Pagan Town, knowing that your experience with Pagan Spirit Gathering, with this community, with this town, with this sacred place, is there throughout the year to connect you with the wisdom that we are part of a great people that has existed since ancient times, that is in the eternal now, that is part of our future. Pagan Town, Pagan Town, Pagan Town, and the pagan spirit that we've called, and the earth, the air, the fire, the water, the spirit, the divine is goddess and God, the divine is one and as many, paganism in many forms, the north, the east, the south, the west, that which is above, beneath, in center, and around, the spirit. We give thanks to those sacred forms as we move from our Pagan Town journey into our day-to-day life. May our experiences of our journey to Pagan Town guide us in our own work, and whether we physically connect with this Pagan Town or not, know that through the imaginal realm and the astral plane, we can be part of that community. and we can be part of shaping the community for decades and eons to come. Blessed be. Aho. Ashe. Namaste. Amen. Shalom. So mote it be. And now we shift our journey from this pagan town into our final part of our evening. And I invite David and Jeanette Ewing, who have been part of Pagan Town in spirit and in body with me and others from Circle Sanctuary, who help bring about this Pagan Town every year. Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Well, we think about the Pagan Town that is the Pagan Spirit Gathering. You certainly have been part of that town for over the years, and I'm wondering, any impressions, any sharings about what it's like to actually join with other pagans from all over the U.S. and from other parts of the world, from all sorts of different paths, and to actually create this place together?
Well, this is Dave here. One thing that came to mind as you were talking about the pagan town and joining it, and we were thinking about it and how, you know, there's around over 1,000 people in this town, typically. And that's larger than my hometown was when I left off to join the Navy. That just kind of struck me as we were talking about this, about how there are more people at Pagan Spirit Gathering at that town that happens for a week than there were in my hometown.
Well, yes, and you know, that's a good point, because our Pagan Town has had a number of different locations. It was in Wisconsin for a number of years. It was in Ohio, and it was in Missouri, and now it's in northern Illinois, about an hour's drive west of Chicago. And in many of those rural areas, we're larger than the local towns.
That's true.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure how big Earlville, which is just, you know, it's right nearby, but Earlville is really small, too, although it may be a little bit larger. But it's an interesting concept to think about, that you have 1,000 people coming together for an 8-day period to connect and share experiences and like minds and just information, knowledge, and just connecting.
Right.
You know, that sort of experience is, it's unique, you know?
Well, and, you know, we have the guardians who are our security and safety people, and they do a very good job of not only making sure that folks within the pagan town are doing okay. If there's a medical emergency, they help with that. Certainly part of their job, too, is to reinforce those who do the gate duty, and so that those who really aren't meant to be at Pagan Town are not coming in. But really, most of their work has really been watching over the community. And a number of years ago, at one of our Pagan Spirit gatherings in this Pagan Town, I heard someone say, you know, this is really one of the safest places I've ever been in. And when you think about some of the towns and the cities and metropolitan areas where, you know, you really have to watch certain places where you go, well, one of the great things about this particular PSG Pagan Town is that it's pretty safe to go wherever. And people watch out for each other. And that's pretty unique. And to have a sense where you can totally be yourself, open as a pagan, whether you are open as a pagan in your town or city or not, or if you're in a rural area, you know, how out are you? many people aren't completely out where they live. They're selectively out. Some people, such as myself, very much out. But in Pagan Town, you can be totally out. You can be yourself. You can use your birth name, your legal name. You can do a spiritual name. There's a great freedom in totally being yourself within a cultural environment.
Good point. You know, and it's true. And, I mean, it's really reinforced when you pull into the gate, when you do arrive at Pagan Spirit Gathering, and you know, there's some happy, smiley faces there to greet you as you pull in and check your ID and make sure you're registered and make sure that you are where you're supposed to be. And most of us, pretty much, you know, all of us who show up there are supposed to be there. But, you know, that is the sentiment that it struck us the first time we arrived, you know, that the response, you know, the first thing you hear is, welcome home. And there are a lot of people that do a lot of work to really make it feel like you're among family, and in a safe, in that safe environment from the very beginning, as soon as you arrive. It's welcome home, and there's smiles and hugs, and, you know, if you need anything and stuff, and there's the community service that people do. You know, it's a very special and unique environment, you know, that we really enjoy. And the bell, you know, the first timer bell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in the pagan community, in the greater pagan community, it has become such an important thing because there's still so much discrimination. There's still so much misunderstanding, and to make their lives easier, or frankly, for safety purposes, some people have to make the decision to not be as out or not be out at all, which is a sad thing in 2013, but they can go to a place like this, they can call it a church retreat, they can leave all of that behind and be spiritually free and unfettered to explore their spirituality and be with people that do not judge you at all. And that is a really liberating thing for people.
And yeah, I agree.
But there's so much why it works
because
of that.
Yes, and while I didn't include it in the meditation, certainly one of the reasons that Pagan Town works the way it does is there are basic guidelines that people have to agree to, and really some common sense guidelines, respect the environment, respect other humans, and be honest, and do your service. And there are some basic guidelines for taking part in the gathering, and people agree to those guidelines as part of their registration. It is a gathering that's unique amongst various pagan festivals in that you actually have to pre-register. We started out that way, and we've continued that we are now 33 years old as a pagan town. It once was called a pagan village, but once we got over 600 people, we started calling it a pagan town because we started getting neighborhoods, and it was kind of beyond the village. We actually were
We do have neighborhoods, don't we?
Yeah, well, and that's it. You know, there's Alchemy Camp. There's going to be Crone's Camp this year. We've got the Rainbow Camp for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer folk. There are in friends and supporters, and there's Gnome Camp. We have just a whole lot of different encampments, and there's a chant camp, I've heard, in the works for this year. So there's just a lot of different things that are happening, and I have the sense that it would be good to do a guided journey, not only for those who haven't been to PSG before that are planning on coming this year, you give them a bit of a taste of what it's like, but it's also a way for listeners to Circle Craft Study to be able to join us this year, even if you are not physically able to come. In fact, the rituals, some of the rituals I've mentioned and everything, they came right out of the program book this year in terms of when they're sequenced. Many of those things I've mentioned happen during the course of the gathering every year, but they might be on different nights. Well, I am very thankful to both of you, Jeanette and David, for being not only part of this show, but being part of Pagan Town and your support for that. And I see from the clock we're now moving into announcements and the conclusion of our show this week. So I invite those who have listened tonight or are listening later, if you really are interested in actually physically going to Pagan Spirit Gathering, we're now in extended registration through June 10th. So if you're really interested in coming, go to www.circlesanctuary.org/PSG. We are doing online registration in the extended registration period, but you have to do it by 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Monday, June 10th, if you want to join us. And I also invite our listeners to come to another magical place, Chrysalis Moon, another pagan festival, and we'll have more about that in a few moments. I invite you to tune in to Pagan Warrior Radio tomorrow night. David and Jeanette and Pamela Kelly are part of that Circle Sanctuary-sponsored podcast every week. And so what do you all have for tomorrow night?
Well, tomorrow night we're talking about Circle Sanctuary and all the activities that it has to offer and services, and we'll be joined by Reverend Dave Sassman and by Patrick McCullum, who has done a lot of work on the, in the international pagan community and has really represented the pagans worldwide very well. And he's also been very active in a number of circle-related activities. And Florence.
Who's the editor of Circle Magazine?
Yes, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff.
And
yes.
She's like Wonder Woman there, it sounds like, you know, with the magazine and the annual reports and all kinds of other stuff. You know, she's a fairly busy bee, and she keeps us updated on the bird activities at Circle. So she'll be joining, the three of them will be joining us tomorrow night on Pagan Warrior Radio as we talk about, you know, Circle Sanctuary. We talk about the military ministry stuff quite a bit. We've talked about PSG, but we haven't really talked a lot about what else Circle does. So tomorrow night will be a good chance for that kind of discussion.
Yeah, and next week I'm going to do my guide to pagan festival life. I've given you a sampling of Pagan Town and the Pagan Spirit Gathering, but there's a lot of different types of festivals out there. I'm going to talk about different types of festivals and how to get the most out of the different types. So stay tuned to Circle Craft Study next week. And we have a show following us, the Pagan Priest Show.
Right, and tonight they're going to be talking about building community through personal interaction, which will be a pretty good discussion with the panel, and that'll be a good time.
And those of you who want more information, you can go to www.circlesanctuary.org to find out more about Circle Sanctuary. And if you want to connect with me, you can do so on Twitter, Selena_Fox, or you can go to my main Facebook page, Selena Fox Updates. Well, what music do we have to take us out tonight?
Well, we'll play our commercial for Chrysalis, and then we'll be ending with Arthur Hines, who is a major mainstay and a major figure, I guess you'd say, with our pagan town. He's one of the more notable citizens. And since we've been talking about being out in the closet, you know, out of the closet or hidden and that kind of stuff, he has a really cool song that's really related to that. It's Do the Round Thing. So we'll do that after the commercial.
That's fabulous. He and Catherine are doing our main community ritual this year. Wonderful.
Okay. So if we're ready to go,
have a great night.
Good night.
There's still time to register for Chrysalis Moon. The Midwest Premier Cabin Camping Festival runs from July 10th through the 14th at Tippecanoe River State Park near Winnemac, Indiana. The cost is only $80 per person until May 17th, $85 until registration closes on June 28th. The Chrysalis Moon 2013 guest of honor is Selena Fox of Circle Sanctuary, and our musical guest is Murphy's Midnight Rounders. For more information, go to chrysalismoon.com.
Manifestation of that power.
Proud, beautiful, and unafraid.
No power may hold me back or cage me, for the power of the Spirit is in me. I rejoice in my life in every action.
I love and am loved in return.
I reflect the light of deity in my life
with boundless passion and creativity,
with which I honor myself in the divine.
For that which is above is like unto that which is below.
Yea, both are equal, for neither is complete without the other. But together all things are possible. Welcome to Pagan Priests, and thank you for joining us.
And welcome indeed to the Pagan Priest Show. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good wherever in the beautiful world you are. This is the Pagan Priest Show. This is Reverend Terry Power, flipping the switches and asking some questions and just trying to keep the whole thing on task. So we are joined tonight by River Higginbotham and Marky Nagale. Guys, are you with me?
Yes.
All right.
Hey. How you doing, Terry? This is River.
Hey, River. How's it going, man?
Excellent.
And Marky, how you doing?
I'm in my prime.
All right. So, what have you guys, let's see, let's start with River. What have you been up to since last you were on the show with us?
Oh, okay. Let's see. We've, well, living in St. Louis, the last 3-4 days has been pretty freaking intense. We've had tornadoes rumble through town, which was traumatic for many. My part of it was not damaged badly, thankfully, and I really feel for all the folks who experienced hardship or property damage or injury. I don't think anybody was killed here, which is phenomenal. And good. I really feel sad for the folks in Oklahoma who many folks, several folks there lost lives over that storm. So really kind of noticing that, and I'm counting my own blessings for surviving and not being scathed by such a thing. And then some friends of mine where we do our weekend retreats, what we call a Grove House, a number of trees were knocked down there. So I got a chance to build some muscles and run a chainsaw most of Saturday, which was really quite unusual. I'm not used to experiencing such work. And then now, aside from all of the natural disaster part, I had a really good month and a busy month. A few weeks ago, we had a 3-day weekend intensive at the Grove, where we it was very, very deep transformative stuff. We looked at some of our weaknesses and challenges, and we did a couple of rituals where we wrote down what was going on in our own hearts and minds, like on a T-shirt, and then we wore that T-shirt, which had some rather revealing and embarrassing things on it for some of us, and then we ripped it to shreds and burned it in a big bonfire in ritual space. So it was very much of a cleansing, releasing kind of thing. That happened later in the month. Yeah.
Pulling the weeds. Yeah, that sounds cool.
Exactly. A little spring weeding in the personal sense. So that's the big part of it. Didn't do anything great for from Beltane on, but been busy. So that's
all right.
Me.
All right, sounds like it. Now, Marky, what about you? What you been up to?
Well, as River had mentioned, we had some dangerous storms come through here, and so we had a little bit of property damage and that we had to deal with. Not only that, we had some agricultural damage with the loss of some produce out in the field. We got hit with a little hailstorm that it did its damage, but, the Lord and Lady giveth and the Lord and Lady taketh away. And so we just counted our blessing that, again, like what River had stated, that nobody local had lost their lives, and we do send our deepest heartfelt condolences to those people who did lose some, and there was some loss in Oklahoma and in other places, and we've just been actively preparing for our sustainability festival, St. Louis Garlic Fest, which is coming up here on June 15th, if I can get a shameless plug-in.
With the topic tonight, you probably have all kinds of shameless time for that.
Yeah, well, and there's also another shameless plug is that we have some workshops going on for St. Louis Pagan Picnic, which is this upcoming weekend. And we'll be hosting, we did the same thing last year. We hosted a block of sustainability and green-centered classes. And so we've been basically actively putting together our workshops for that. It's just been, it's just been crazy. And we're staring down, jokingly I'm going to say this, we're staring down agricultural doom here, because in about 6 days from now, 5 days from now, we begin harvesting 18,000 head of garlic that's out in the field.
Wow. And I was wondering if the tornadoes had eaten up any of your garlic, if you'd been feeding the tornadoes with garlic or something.
You know what? If that's what it takes to drive all the mosquitoes and all the vampires out of the Midwest, I would gladly give up that sacrifice, Terry. really the root crops actually, hold real well. Your beets, garlic, carrots, stuff like that. You just get the frond damage on top, and that stuff's just repairable. Where our crops were damaged, where we've got a lot of high end lettuces and some cabbages and those things that are top growing, often will take a hit in a situation like that.
Yeah, they just got pounded, I guess.
It was it was pretty brutal. We're actually going to get a series of storms through here tomorrow, I hope it's going to be nothing like what we've just experienced.
Yeah, well, I hope so as well. All right, so all I did this weekend was just spend it in the yard mowing and weed eating. And is weed eating a verb? To weed eat, is that become a verb?
Yes, I would say that. It's an action verb too.
Yeah, so River was talking about building up some muscles with a chainsaw. I was swinging a weed eater for about 4 hours on Sunday. Those of you that have seen pictures of the farm will notice that it's terraced. And last weekend we reclaimed a big hunk, I don't know, about 10 yards of yard that had just been overgrown. The place had been empty for 3 years. And we couldn't tell on the slope between the terraces how steep it was or anything else. So I used the tractor as close as I could get, and then we had to take the weed eater and knock down the grass on the hill because it was over waist high. And find out where I could actually mow with the tractor, and it looks like a good bit of it I can drive the tractor straight down, so I win. But it was a lot of work getting it to the point where we knew what we were doing. And it's just the way it goes up here with 2 acres. We're reclaiming a lot of it and hopefully getting it to a maintenance point where it won't be quite so bad. So, anyway, the topic for tonight is building community through personal interaction. And you guys have both mentioned a little bit of that, and I've got some thoughts on it as well. But I guess I want to start, like I always do, somewhat within, small world interactions. And then after the break, we'll talk about interacting in larger ways. But River, I'm going to start with you, since you were first in the queue.
Okay.
What are your thoughts about how we can build community through personal interaction, getting out from behind the computers, getting out in the world and meeting people and doing things? I know you talk a lot about your intensives and stuff like that, but what are some ways that we can build community through personal interaction?
Well, I think a big part of that is understanding the significance of just being present, in groups, being present in attending things in person, and building relationships one-on-one. I know that there's a lot of stuff going on virtually in this world today, and there's a lot of good things that happen in the virtual world. In fact, I think it's kind of revolutionizing how our culture functions. But part of what we need to do is really get the notion of, and don't forget that the sacredness and the importance of person-to-person interactions. And one of the things that I've learned through several different communities I've been part of St. Louis Pagan Picnic planning team and organization called CAST in the past years. I've been part of a group called Diana's Grove, and I really found that being present, just simply showing up, is a huge thing. I know as a person who's been a leader in trying to organize things, trying to get people together to do stuff, really, really have a great sense of appreciation of the people who show up and are steady participants and steady parts of whatever the event is, whether it's a coven circle meeting or whether it's a coffee club or a pagans at the pub or just your regular family. Just being present is so huge. And then being present is one piece of it. But another piece of it is to be present and be really engaged, really paying attention to each other. I know some folks who end up, you know, say watching a lot of TV or doing a lot of video games might be in each other's physical presence, but not truly engaged. And part of being truly engaged is learning and choosing to listen very well. Whenever it's time to talk and interact with each other, put a lot of attention to that other person and to what they're saying, and don't do it in a manner where you're trying to think of what to say next, but really listen in terms of trying to hear what they are saying or hear about their experience, hear what moves them and is important to them. Really profoundly deep listening is a great step toward building important, deep one-on-one relationships. You know, part of that's really just common sense, but I think it's really true.
Yeah, I've heard that concept called active listening. Not thinking about what you're going to say next, but actively listening and participating in what they're saying.
I think that's a good phrase for it. Here's something that I was part of a few years ago. I attended the Parliament of the World's Religions, and I was part of the pagan contingent there. And there was a group of people that had something they called the Listening Project. And this was an interfaith group. And the purpose of the Listening Project was to just emphasize the importance of listening to communication. And it and part of what their theory was is that, okay, you're going to be at this conference and it's going to have people from all different religions and all different perspectives, kind of like being at a pagan festival. But part of the emphasis there was, if you had some people that were just really focused on listening, that focus would engender more sharing by the others, and would engender more dialogue between folks, perhaps folks with very different perspectives. You know, a Muslim and a Jew and a Christian and a pagan sat down to have lunch at the Parliament of World Religions, and it's not a joke, it actually happens.
Yeah.
And you know, the deep listening and exchange that was consciously practiced there, I think is a really good model that we could use in more of our own communities. You know, go in with less ego and with a very strong agenda to actively listen.
All right, very cool. All right, well, Marky, what are your thoughts on the topic tonight and on the building community?
Like River had stated before, showing up is important. We're a very our group has a tendency to be less academic and more kinetic. Whereas a lot of our stuff, although we do have our academic side as well as probably River's group has their kinetic side, we're very active physically. And when it comes to some of our projects, we're actually dependent upon people actually showing up, actually coming around. It's great to live in the virtual world and to talk about how things can be done. But it's very interesting to see actually who shows up to implement those. And I've seen all sorts of interactions in pagan groups and in non-pagan groups where we tried to build something within the community. And you'll get a lot of people with some fantastic ideas. And some people like to make themselves out to be, for lack of a better term, the idea kings and queens. They're fantastic at coming up with ideas, and they're great at telling you how you should implement them. Oh, they're fantastic at telling you about that. And but to actually get them to come out and do it is something that's completely different. They're like, oh, well, you know what? I don't do that kind of work. You don't have to actually even physically work to come out. Sometimes just your presence there is just good enough. Or if it comes to, like, we'll often help out poor urban farmers in the city by building them a community garden or building them their own personal farm that they can feed themselves or they can feed the needy or that they could basically sell the produce to be able to feed their home. And, a lot of times some of these events they're all set up, you know, within the digital world, and they rely heavily on word of mouth passing around. And, I've seen very few people.
You there? Yeah, Marky? All right, something happened. River,
oh,
you still
oh, 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 sorry about that. I don't know exactly what happened. I was trying to, we just got, it was one of those blurbs in the digital world, I guess. But
this is why we need personal interaction instead of all this technology stuff.
But we had so again, just to come full circle, yeah, we are we are heavily dependent upon the personal body being there and helping to implement these. And we do realize that some people can't do the physical side of the labor. And where they can help out is through the word of mouth spreading of stuff, because although you can only share so much stuff on Twitter or on Facebook, but unless you can actually get your friends, your circle on, you know, in your little digital section of the world motivated, sharing does no good. And but when it comes to sharing outside that, outside the digital world, that's where I've seen all that, all the magic created, where people can get together. And we set up a garden last year. Instead of sitting around in this digital cafe, let's just call it, talking about how we were going to create this thing for you know, for this family, we just said, you know what, let's just go out there and wing it. I mean, we're all creative people. We're all intelligent people. We're all crafty people, you know. And so let's just, you know what, let's just not even talk about this. Let's just go out there. We'll all bring materials. We all do. We've all been up on this horse before. You know, we know what needs to be done. And we've gone out there and we've just created it. The site in particular was, it turned out to be, we had never even seen this hillside before. And that's literally what it was a hillside. And so we had to create the, you know, the farm rows right there. And because of erosion, we couldn't create this garden like you would normally create a garden. So we had to adopt ideas of permaculture in there. And basically, instead of fighting against gravity, we began to work with it. And it just, you know, all of a sudden it just flowed. How it happened is so fragile, it's almost like an eggshell. It crumbles if I attempt to describe it. But these people just got together and they just did it. And so you'll find some community like that, some people who have never been together before, but all have kind of similar ideas and have been, quote unquote, back up on that horse before. You can put them together in a room and just fantastic stuff happens.
Yeah, sometimes the trick is just to do. You know, like it kind of reminds me of a quote from Star Wars. Excuse me for being geeky, but Yoda says, you know, there is no try, do or do not. And River, you still with me?
Yep.
Okay. Looks like Marquee dropped out on us. Something's going on with the technology tonight. But you know what he was saying kind of reminds me of that. That line from Star Wars where Yoda says, you know, there is no try, do or do not. And I think it's the same thing. There is no talk. You know, do or do not. But we spend a great deal of time online talking about what we ought to do. And sometimes the trick's just to get out and do it.
Yeah, I think the totally concur with that, that actions are much more powerful than blogs.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely,
definitely
a place for them. I mean, considering I have a blog, and you know, but but you know, there is definitely room for action for us to you know, what's the phrase about you know, walking our talk? Are you there, River?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know what's happened with technology tonight, but Marky was having trouble getting in, and now he's dropped out on us again. So we'll just keep plugging along. But, yeah, the whole idea, in my mind, we spend a great deal of time in that virtual world. And I've got a comment in the chat room that people are comfortable there. And it's easy to hide there. And there's that anonymity there. But without that exchange of personal energy, without that touch or that feel or that hug, and the interaction and exchange of energy with another human being, we kind of lose track sometimes of the fact that we're interacting with people on the other side of these pixels. And getting out from behind the computer and meeting with other people, hanging out, even if it's just like I believe you were saying, a meetup group or something where you get together and exchange energy. If you're meeting at the pub or meet for coffee or, walk the talk. I mean, do what you say. Put action with your words. And
then And then I think a good part of that, Terry, is comes back to integrity. Like, what is it that what is it that you're saying with your actions, and what is it you're saying with your words, and being able to act with integrity and be a person, you know, of good character and of good follow through be an upstanding good part of your community, whatever community you're part of, and then match that goodness with your communication style and your communication skills. Talk the talk is one thing, but it's much more important to walk the walk, and it's even better yet whenever they're consistent and they're based on solid, generous values.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when there's consistency, when your walk and your talk and your actions and your words and everything come together, it's huge. And the comments going on in the chat room about the number of people that substitute the virtual world for real communication, and I think I said this to you last week when we were talking offline, is that I believe that people have lost touch with people because we spend so much time in this illusion of connectedness. You know, people have 7,000 friends on Facebook. Really? Okay. Do you really have 7,000 friends? There's this illusion of connectedness that comes from social media, and while it's an amazing tool and there's a lot to be gained from social media, don't get me wrong, I'm not bashing social media completely. I do, however, disagree with it replacing social interaction.
Yep, I certainly agree that it's not healthy whenever it replaces social interaction. It's really good when it can augment and allow people to stay connected even at a distance. I certainly think that there's a lot of positives about that. Being able to, lately I've begun doing video chats with folks. And getting together in small groups on video online, and there's goodness there, but its value is an enhancement or something that overcomes, you know, great physical distance, but it does not take the place of, and it's not better than, you know, real person to person, flesh to flesh, eye to eye experience.
Yeah, the touch of a hand, a hug of a friend. That there's just no replacing that kind of exchange of energy.
And the human energy, human body has, you know, we have our you know, human energy field or various levels of body depending upon there's different metaphysical and spiritual interpretations and beliefs and language around that, but you know, you can sense someone's heart beating in a room whenever you're in a room, you know, just, you know, even 10, 12 feet away from somebody, you can that's perceptible. We're often too busy in our own thoughts or too distracted by stimulus of everything coming at us around us to pick that up. But sometimes whenever we step into circle together and we get calm and we get intentionally paying close attention to the others there, you know, that's when energy is built collectively, like in a circle, and that's special and wonderful in that context, but it can also occur just in regular conversation. When you're willing to be deep and share of yourself. I think that's a big principle about connecting to other people one-on-one is if you're willing to share yourself, and I don't mean brag about yourself, but more share about yourself. Yeah, and who you really are and maybe things that are really that you really have as hopes and as fears and as things that you feel vulnerable about. Go ahead, Terry.
No, I was going to say that doesn't come through in social media. I mean, we always present the best of ourselves or the illusion of how we would like to appear, of how we would like to be. And we're not sharing honestly most of the time. No, not everyone. I'm not, I look forward to your letters. Email us at pagans tonight@gmail.com. But there are so many people that are not, what was the word you used earlier? It was about integrity. It was about, consistency. But we're not totally... we're not totally involved in the social media. We don't share our vulnerabilities. We don't share who we really are. We share the best of who we want to be.
Yeah, I think it's easy to be less than sincere if you're just a string of words behind a prompt or in a message. I am kind of chat scenario or in an email. And then it's very, the written language is so prone to misinterpretation.
And flatness.
Yeah. And so that, I think just highlighting that all of those things are compromises that we accept, compromises to really excellent communication. We accept those compromises in order to have the convenience of emails, have the convenience of texts and tweets. And, those are nice things to have. They're very convenient. They're helpful, but they don't take the place of eye to eye, heart to heart, hand to hand, person to person exchanges.
Absolutely. All right, well, I've got a song queued up here. I'm going to go ahead and play this. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to expand on this topic and talk about festivals and other ways that we can interact. We've been talking about just like local groups and things that we do around the house. But let's come back from the break and we'll talk about some of the larger things that we can do and give some people some ideas. Instead of just telling them what we should do, let's share what we can do. So,
okay.
I got a song by S.J. Tucker. It's not a real long song. We're going to play a commercial right after it. But it just seemed appropriate for the evening, and the title of the song is For Love of All Who Gather. It just seems appropriate. I haven't heard the song before, but let's hope it works out. And we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
There's still time to register for Chrysalis Moon. The Midwest Premier Cabin Camping Festival runs from July 10th through the 14th at Tippecanoe River State Park near Winnemac, Indiana. The cost is only $80 per person until May 17th, $85 until registration closes on June 28th. The Chrysalis Moon 2013 guest of honor is Selena Fox of Circle Sanctuary, and our musical guest is Murphy's Midnight Rounders. For more information, go to chrysalismoon.com.
Have a question? Want your question to be a topic on Pagan Priest? Then send us an email at pagans tonight@gmail.com with the subject title, Ask a Priest, and we'll certainly consider using your question as the topic of our discussion. That email again is pagans tonight@gmail.com with the subject line, Ask a Priest. Thanks for sticking around and tuning in through our commercial break. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the show. That was S.J. Tucker for The Love of All Who Gather. And that was a pretty cool song. Very short, but it was a very cool song. Kind of caught me by surprise, I have to admit. We usually play 5-minute long songs, and then suddenly there was no music. Oh, no. So, so before the break, we were talking about building community by through personal interaction. And we were talking about our local communities and our small communities, you know, here around the farm or the intensives you do and the urban farming that Marky does. And Marky's phone is completely gone. I don't know what's going on, but I can't even get through him on text. He's just... Technology failed. So, these things happen. Somebody else was having trouble getting in one the other night. It just technology is a wonderful thing, and sometimes it's just gremlins. And this is one of the reasons that we need personal interaction. But
yes,
on a larger scale, as we've been talking about. Smaller scale ways that we can get together, large scale ways, are myriad in our community. I used to belong to a place called Our Haven in Indiana. River, I met you, we're not even talking about how many years ago that was, at an event near Columbus, Ohio. And we've talked about this. It was one of the Ohio gatherings. This was some years back when you had first written Understanding Paganism, and I met you and Joyce. But it's just those kind of events where we get people together on a larger scale. It doesn't have to be as big as PSG. It doesn't have to be, more than, 20, 30 people. I mean, a lot of them are bigger than that. You do the intensives, and you're working on something coming up.
That's true. The group that I'm keenly involved with right now is called The Grove, and beginning next year we're going to be doing probably monthly events of on the order of probably 15 to 25 people, and we call them intensives because we're going to be pretty intense with the personal work that we do, and we're going to have a lot of things scheduled. We have a lot of it's a very stimulating time. It's not kick back, relax, and chill like you can at a pagan festival. It's an intense time with lots of stuff going on, and that's one thing that I'm working hard on helping to facilitate and create as a new small community, and it may grow a lot. I mean, I hope it will, and I certainly. We'll encourage anybody who's interested to drop me a line and ask me about it, and learn more. We've got a website called enterthegrove.com that's still pretty simple. But look for more next year. But here in St. Louis coming up is something I mentioned several times, and Marky mentioned it, and that thing was Pagan Picnic. And that began as a gathering of 40 people 21 years ago. And it's a really fabulous testament to what community can become if people connect and then pour a lot of energy into building and continuing those connections. St. Louis Pagan Picnic is going to have about 4,000 people in a public park next weekend. So if you're anywhere around St. Louis or within several hours' drive, come on down. And Saturday at 10:30 in the morning is the opening ritual, and it's like a small festival. But so there's lots of workshops, there's music, there's vendors, and there's community. It's amazing to me that it's as big as it is, but it has grown step by step from a little bitty picnic, a little bitty gathering to a really enormous one. When I first, now to kind of shift gears again, the first pagan events that I ever went to were what I would call a small size festival, like 80 to 120 people. And the first ones I ever went to were in mid-Missouri, in a place that's since been the name Ozark Avalon, and I think it's Oak Spirits Community now. But there's been different that community's gone through several cycles of growth. But that's a nice size for an event. Chrysalis Moon, the one that's been advertised a couple of times. I attended Chrysalis last year. Had a fabulous time. About 80 people, 80 to 120 in that range. You get a chance to really get to know. You get enough time to get to know most of the people there. It's much more intimate than a pagan picnic, much more intimate than a pagan spirit gathering, much more intimate than a pantheon.
Right.
And really delightful to get to know people. I think a medium sized festival like that gives a really good opportunity to take this idea of connecting person to person and bring that kind of to roost amongst a whole community of folks. And
yeah.
Another piece of it that I recommend is if you pick a festival or you pick an event, try to go to it frequently. If it's annual, go annually. If it's at Sabbats or on the holidays, try to attend and be present regularly. Those things will help deepen the connection.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I first started going out to Our Haven, there were sometimes only like 20 of us. And over the 2 years that I attended festivals there, it grew and grew. And we were having something every Sabbath. And the cool thing was that I met some people there early on. And we actually called ourselves Divergent Paths because we were four very different people on four very different paths. But somehow we managed to come together and pull off Sabbath weekends, and it took a life of its own, and people started coming out and being a part of it, and it got, and they would tell their friends, and then the next time it would be bigger, and some of the times by the time I ended, we were over 100 people, and it kind of blossomed. And it came about through personal interaction, not through being on the computer, but by meeting people and sharing, like you were saying earlier, vulnerabilities. And we knew our weaknesses, we knew the other person's strengths, and we played it together in a way that made something, synchronicity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, together we were stronger than the sum of our individual efforts, even when we were on very different paths. And we made something cool happen. And, you know, I used to attend a lot of events in Ohio back in the early 2000s. So that's been, 13, 14 years ago now. You know, I used to attend all of those events in Ohio. And, you know, I always worked on Merchants Row. I always set up a little booth and sold my oils and incenses and altar stones and that sort of thing. And everybody comes down Merchants Row.
Mm-hmm.
What a blast it is hanging out on Merchants Row, because you meet everybody. And, you know, there's just that feeling of, you know, meeting people and talking to people and being engaged with people. And it's just, it's great. And it can't be replaced with, a computer or text messages or even, voices on the phone, which is the closest to real we're going to get, or video chat. It can't replace that feeling of being around a bunch of people. And frankly, the coolest part is you're around a bunch of people that, for the most part, actually get you, where you don't really always get that at home or out in your local communities. You know, I don't get that at work. There's people at work that just simply, they know who I am. They just have no idea who I am. And
right. Well, I think that was one of the first great feelings that I had when I went to the first little festivals I attended, and that it's kind of, you know, it was just kind of learning what pagan culture was like and learning, experiencing rituals for the first time, which were just knocking my socks off. And then I went to my first major festival, which happened to be Pagan Spirit Gathering around 1995, and it was just amazing that it was this whole village, you know, nearly 1,000 people, and you didn't have to explain anything about your spiritual path. You could, you know, you could speak about it in the words you normally use to describe it, and people would generally understand what you were talking about. In fact,
yeah, wasn't that cool?
What a shift, what a shock. And it, and then the sense of support and the sense of family that festivals bring can really be intense and is really important. And I like the fact that I've got a lot of friends that I've met at festivals, and they've become true friends of mine through time, and you know, seeing them periodically or coming to meet and visit one-on-one. It's just a really tremendously positive part of life. So I'm certainly a proponent of festivals and people gathering in person and especially gathering outdoors and experiencing, you know, nature and the woods or lakes and streams and the moon and the sun together. All of that, you know, we don't get enough of that in the urban environment, and it's very refreshing and renewing for me.
Yeah,
and for.
No, I was just going to say that's one of the things I like about where I live now, and. You know, Angie and I have been blessed to find this place. And, you know, we were talking over the weekend about, you know, how we found this place and you know, just reminiscing about the story of how we actually found this place. But we're 20 minutes from Allentown in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And it's, you know, those are moderate sized cities, and the community here is pretty good size, but we're far enough up into the farm communities north of town that we're kind of out in the woods, and we sit at a crossroad of two streets, and we'll sit out on the porch, and people drive by and wave, And, you know, we're always working in the yard because, you know, with 2 acres, you're always working in the yard. But, you know, there's that connectedness to the earth, and now we've got the ritual space here. And anybody that's over in the eastern Pennsylvania or northern New Jersey area and want to come over for our Sabbats, all of our Sabbats are open. We're very much about people coming and sharing with us. So, you know, that's one thing that we do here, and some of those have gotten, you know, big. I mean, we've had, you know, 20 people around the house trying to figure out how we're going to feed each other or sit down for a potluck. I mean, everybody brought food. We had plenty of food. We didn't know where we were going to seat everybody for a potluck. And I'd rather have those problems than, you know, than hearing crickets while I'm doing ritual. But, you know, everybody that's in the area, come on over. We love getting people together. You know, we try, you know, I talk a lot about getting together with other people and, you know, unplugging from the matrix. And one of the things we do here is live it and give people a chance to come and visit. We're also having a regional Corellian Lustration Labor Day weekend. And there's a hotel right down the road. It's like 10 minutes from the farm. And we're going to be having a whole lot of activities and a drummer and, you know, just a get-together of like-minded people. All getting together, and, you know, that's the kind of thing that starts here and kind of grows.
And I think that the spirit that you guys are engaged in now is a really great thing that I appreciate about people who organize events. We wouldn't have festivals if it wasn't for the folks who've come together and created those opportunities. Selena Fox doing a fantastic job of keeping the vision of Pagan Spirit Gathering and Circle Sanctuary very strong. The people in St. Louis here doing Pagan Picnic. The people out in Oakland and San Jose who do Pantheacon, you know, definitely, you know, the same kind of thing that people with strong vision and consistent policies and consistent attention to detail and treating people well to actually, you know, to grow a festival or a convention from, you know, from however small it is when it starts to something, you know, kind of larger, kind of significant. It takes a great deal of work and a lot of investment by mostly volunteers. And so here's a shout out to everyone who's doing community building in some fashion. Thank you so much for the work you do and the efforts and all of it almost volunteer and with very little appreciation and thanks compared to the sweat that you put into it. But I know it takes energy and time, and I think for many it's a labor of love. So keep up the great work, folks. And if you attend a festival or an event and you like it, tell the organizers, tell the other folks there, the other who are volunteering, that you appreciate it. Just share that appreciation back, and you'll build a connection right then and there.
Absolutely. And also, I do. I just want to say that I have been to a lot of little and a lot of medium-sized festivals. I've not managed to make it to any of the major ones yet. I'm hoping that I will get to PSG one of these years. It just seems like that's my busiest time of the season at work. And it just seems like it's always been hard for me to get there. But one of these years, Spirit's going to say, okay, it's your year. Boom! And the sky will open and everything will line up for it. The same way it did when we were looking at the farm. Everything just kind of lined up and fell into place. And you know you're going with the flow of the universe instead of against it. But, Yeah, you know, I'm excited about the festival season coming up. In a couple of weeks, on the 22nd, we're having Midsummer Ritual here, and it's going to be one of our rare daylight festivals. We almost always have our Sabbath rituals inside in, you know, after dark, because I like the candles and the torches and the ambiance that comes with firelight. But Midsummer just got to be out in the sunshine. So that one's going to be at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Then we've got this, the Labor Day weekend, we've got some stuff coming up here. So we're just excited about the festival season. Angie and I are going to a festival the end of June, and I'm going to be doing a couple of presentations. She's going to be working with the youth. It's just exciting times. The sun is warming the earth, and everybody gets out and plays. So, that's my spiel. I'm just excited and ready to go out and play and meet people. So, River, final thoughts on the evening. We're after 11 o'clock. We've been on a roll.
That's true. Well, everyone who, if you can go to a festival, have fun, play safe, engage one-on-one and with the intention of building community and making friends, you know, try to, you know, go if an event has a morning meeting or a regular, you know, social time where announcements and things are made, participate in that process. Try to participate in each of the opportunities that are offered, or better yet, you know, offer things up and create them. And then there's a lot of great things to learn. Some of the festivals, like PSG, have lots of great academic stuff and experiential stuff. So there's a lot of really talented people pooling their skills and their offerings, and so all the more reason to go play and have fun this summer. And, you know, take care to have fun and build community right where you live, with your family, with your friends, with the Covenant Circle group that you're part of. Practice those skills to build connection all the time. And for any of you who are going to be at Pagan Picnic, come by and see me. For anybody who, if any of you are going to be at Pagan Spirit Gathering, I hope you can, hope we can connect. I'm going to be up there doing some workshops, and we're going to have a little camp we call Chant Camp. So we're going to spend a lot of time singing. So come on by if you can.
That sounds like fun. All right. Well, my final thoughts on the evening, I guess, would be just to reiterate the need to unplug. Social media is a great tool. The internet is a great tool, but it does not replace a handshake or a hug. And that connectedness that you get from really connecting and interacting with other people. So I encourage you, as River did, to find festivals, to find opportunities, even if it's just a meetup in your local community. People getting together, having coffee. Some people do meetups in pubs. Whatever it is, get with other people and share a handshake, share a hug, and be connected. Build community. And if you can, go to a festival, because there's no replacing the energy of a festival. I mean, there's just nothing like it. And until you've experienced it, I can talk about it, but you won't get it until you get it. So go to a festival. It's just that cool. So, River, how does somebody get in touch with you, or what have you got coming up? I know you already said most of what you got coming up, but
coming up is Picnic and PSG for me. You can get a hold of me on email, riverhiggenbotham@gmail.com. And that's River and Higginbotham all run together, and no dot in between. We've got a website for our books. Joyce and I have the website's joyceandriver.com. It talks about the three books that we've written, Paganism, An Introduction to Earth-Centered Religions, Pagan Spirituality, A Guide for Personal Transformation, and Christo-Paganism, An Inclusive Path. The website's the calendar is a little bit dated. All the information about the books are perfectly current and up-to-date. And all those books are by Llewellyn and available at many, many booksellers around the country. So, and then if you wanted to get a hold of me on Facebook, I'm at River Higginbotham. If you make me a friend request, kind of tell me who you are and explain what's going on. I know there's a lot out there that sometimes is confusing, and sometimes that's another drawback of the virtual world. You really don't know you got a real person until you get some more information.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, thanks everybody. Have a very safe June and enjoy the summer solstice.
All right, and let's see, for myself, you know, here we are talking about social media and all the ways that we need to get out and connected, but we're both pretty connected to the social media. I can be reached. Easiest way to find me is Terry Power in, I think it says North Whitehall or North Copley or something like that in Pennsylvania on Facebook. That's the easiest way to find me, just Terry Power, or find my public figure page is Rev Terry Power HP. Follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. And of course, you can email any of the hosts or management at Pagans Tonight Radio Network by emailing pagans tonight@gmail.com. If you're over in this area, come see us for the summer solstice on the 22nd of June. If you're going to be in New Jersey, come by Woven Roots, a festival taking place at Brendan Byrne State Forest on the 28th, 29th, and 30th. I'll be giving a couple of presentations on that Saturday, the 29th. So come by and see me there, or come to our regional Corellian Lustration here Labor Day weekend. All of those, you can find out information, get in touch with me on Facebook, and I'll help you out. So with that said, River, I want to thank you for being with us. Marky, if you can hear us out there, I want to thank you for helping us get the show started. Sorry that technology did a number on you tonight, but I'll be looking forward to talking with you next month. And let's see, next week, we are going to be talking about planning and running an event, since we've kind of gotten onto the event theme. And then 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to be talking about intrafaith work within our own community. Not just reaching out to others, for other expressions of faith, such as the Christians or Muslims or Jews, et cetera, but looking at working within our own expression of faith and the varieties within it, and that kind of intra-faith work that goes along with the festival season. So you can kind of see a theme developing here, a pattern for the month. But so that's it, guys. River, again, thanks a lot. I have enjoyed, as always, you being with us.
Well, thank you very much, Terry, and enjoy the summer, everyone. Blessed be.
Blessed be, and may you have a week filled with love and with wonder.
Thank you for joining us on WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. You can hear us every night right here on Blog Talk Radio, or download us later on iTunes. Please check our schedule for accurate show times. For all questions, comments, or show suggestions, you can email us at pagans tonight@gmail.com. And let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on LiveJournal. We invite you to tune in again tomorrow night. Good night, and blessed be.